And Allah Ta'ala opened our hearts and gave us intercession of His beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Amin Ya Rabbal Alameen. As we know that we have started Mishkatul Masabih, which is a very easy and famous book of hadith. And in our regular Darsi hadith, this is hadith number 18. And this hadith is a very comprehensive hadith which has many lessons and important information and training for our families, for our next generation, for our sisters. And this hadith is narrated and mentioned and quoted by 10 great muhaddithin, the 10 a'imma, the scholars of hadith. They mentioned this hadith, and four different sahabi, they narrated this hadith. Like Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a very famous Ansar Sahabi, and who participated in at least 12 of the Ghazwat with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and Imam Tirmidhi, and other A'imma of Hadith, they also mentioned this Hadith. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also is one of the narrator of this hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar, and also Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and also Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So it's a very authentic, very famous hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he said, أَنَّهُ قَالَ يَا مَعْشَرَ النِّسَاءِ تَصَدَّقْنَا وَأَكْثِرْنَا الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُكُنَّ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. In some versions of hadith, some sahaba, they explained and they told all circumstances and the venue and how this hadith Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or some make it short that that's what Prophet said. So the some narrator, they explain everything, and then sometime if they are not sure about something, the ravi or the narrator, so they explain their doubt. Like in some version, as mentioned by in Sahib of Mishkat, the author of Mishkat al-Masabih, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finished Salatul Eid, Eid prayer, and then he passed by the group of women, sisters, and the ladies, their sisters, female, they were also attending during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Salatul Eid. So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped by, and then narrator said, maybe it was Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr. So that is like he forgot. So this is Diyanatul Ilmiyyah, that honesty of teaching or giving knowledge to others. That if you are not sure about something, so you have to tell or explain the reality. So he said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was Eid, so he's not sure Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha, but after Salatul Eid, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped by them and he said to them that, oh group of female or ladies or sisters, tasaddaqna, you give sadaqah, give charity, sadaqah and khairat. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given this instruction to them. And then he said, وَأَكْثِرْنَا الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ, and you have to do much more istighfar. Istighfar means seeking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, saying, Astaghfirullah, O Allah, I ask you to forgive me. So, because this scenario is telling that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is so kind and so merciful to whole Ummah, but here he is specially he is giving this lesson to the sisters. So he said to them, give sadaqah and make istighfar. فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُكُنَّ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, because I have seen majority of you in the fire, in hellfire, in Jahannam. Why is that? فَقَالَتْ امْرَأَةٌ مِّنْهُنَّ جَزْلَةٌ وَمَا لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. So there was a very wise woman, and she asked the question, O Allah's Messenger, why is that their majority of women are in hellfire? What is that? So there was a smart lady or wise lady, and here we learn that if we have any confusion, so there is no shame, or we should not shy to ask the question. So this is a learning process. So when she asked the question, what is the reason why they are in hellfire, majority of them, why is that? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, why? قَالَ تُكْسِرْنَا النَّعْنَا وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرَةَ مَا رَأَيْتُمْ مِنْ نَاقِصَاتِ أَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ أَغْلَبَ لِذِي لُبٍّ مِنْكُنَّ. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because of two reasons. Number one, you are using la'nat, cursing too much. And this is a common habit nowadays, not even in sisters, even the brothers, they are using the same thing. Just for minor thing, they say la'nat or la'na. La'nat or la'na, that means ib'ad an rahmatillah. In the literal meaning is to keep someone away from the mercy of Allah. Right? So this is not the dignity of a Muslim. A believer came to the world, a believer or mu'min is living in this dunya, in this world, to bring people towards the mercy of Allah, not to keeping them or taking them away from the mercy of Allah. So this is the duty of a Muslim, to bring people towards the mercy of Allah, not to drag them or scold them or keep them away from the mercy of Allah. And La'an, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a mu'min, especially if you do la'nat for a mu'min, you curse on a mu'min, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is like killing him. It's like qatl. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he mentioned this hadith, that cursing on a believer, not even on a believer, is not even permitted for a kafir unless you are 100% sure that person died as a kafir. Like Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, we know. So we can say la'nat on Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. He is la'in, mal'oon, right? But other, like in Quran, there is la'natullahi al-fasibin. That we can say, not specifically with the person's name. No, in general, those who are liar, la'nat on them. La'natullahi al-zalimin. Those who are zalim, so la'nat on them. La'anallahu al-yahuda wal-nasara. So in that context, that is permitted. But specifically, you point out someone, or you finger someone, or you do la'nat of someone, so this is not a behavior or attitude of a Muslim. So cursing is not permitted in Islam. Even for the kafir. Why? Because we never know that maybe before death he repented, he accepted Islam. And secondly, what we are going to get if we are saying la'nat on that, la'nat on that, la'nat on that? Why are we doing that? Cursing. And it is a common now, even in youth, for just minor thing they are cursing and they are saying la'nat. That means you are depriving someone from the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So that's why la'nat is not permitted in Islam. Right? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the sisters when he advised them that I had seen majority of you that they were in hellfire. So then they asked, and this is another miracle of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is no hisab, there is no mizan, there is not qiyamat, or the day of judgment didn't come yet. People would go hellfire later, but Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had seen the things which would happen in future. He knows it. Or maybe those who are in barzakh, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see it. So this is another mu'jaza or miracle or honor or status of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thing which has not happened, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already knows it, and he's saying that that what I had seen, right? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because you are doing too much la'nat. So if you see, it's a common thing in sisters, for a minor thing they always use cursing, a curse word, or different words which are not appropriate. So this is the one of the reason. So if any sister is not doing these things, so then they should not be scared that inshallah they would get the mercy and blessing of Allah. So what one thing what we learn is too much la'nat or la'nat on someone is not permitted. But takfur man ashir, that if second one, that they are disobedient or unthankful to their husbands. This is also one of the common thing. Mostly everybody is fighting for their rights, but Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had given the description of how much rights the husband has and how much rights the woman has. And they have rights, no doubt. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was departing from this dunya, so he put stress on that, and he told Sahaba that beware of your wives. So that is another part. But on the other end, that they had to obey their husbands. And there are many hadiths that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I was going to permit anyone to prostrate or do sajda, I would definitely give this command to wives that they should prostrate or make sajda for their husband. So that means that the husband, they have some dignity, some honor, and they should respect that. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling that this is another reason, that one, they are doing la'antan, and the second thing, they are not obedient or thankful to the husband. And this is a common thing. Many times if husband is giving or providing everything years and years, or once in a life something happened, or there is some party or something, so she is going to say, you never gave me anything, right? So I never got any comfort in your home. So the purpose of hadith is that they should beware of these two things. So first thing Prophet told, give sadaqah. The second thing he said, do istighfar. And the third thing, that don't say la'na or cursing on anyone. And the fourth is that they should not disobey or disrespect or being unthankful to their husbands. Because Prophet ﷺ said that man lam yashkur al-nas lam yashkur Allah. If you are not thankful to the people, the one who is giving you benefit, you are not thankful to Allah. You are not doing the shukr of Allah. So shukr of Allah is done or accepted when you are thankful the one who is giving favor to you, and you appreciate. So appreciation for the husband is also important. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said another thing what is common in the women, naqisati aqlin wa deenin aghlaba lihi yubbin minkum qalat ya rasulullah wa ma nuqsan al-aql wa deen. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even when a very wise man is there, if a female or a sister, if they want to deceive or they want to plan something in their mind, so then they come to a wise man and then they start talking, and with their tactics they can drag or they can change their mind. So that's what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling here that you can do that. Even a person who is very courageous, the person who is very wise, the person who can, who knows what to do, but if you are involved in some matter, so you can, if you are going positive, that is appreciative, that is good thing. But if you go negative and you start making stories and giving him ideas or opinions and counseling, and then finally the person is gone and he is slipped. So then, because Prophet used the word nuqsan al-aql wad-deen, that defectiveness or defect in aql and in deen. So then they said, that lady asked, now what is the nuqsan of aql and nuqsan in deen? What is the defect, what is the shortcoming, what is missing in our aql, in our brain or in our deen? So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, qala amma نقصان الأقل فشهادة امرأتين تعدل شهادة رجل فهذا نقصان الأقل وتمكث الليالي ما تصلي وتفطر في رمضان فهذا نقصان الدين. So Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that نقصان الأقل is that in Islam, that for the shahada, if you are witness, so there is a rule that the one male and two female. So, right. So that's, some people take it out of context and they say that means in Islam the woman is a half human being. It's not that. It's wrong. Why? In general, in Islam, if somebody is getting married, we need two witnesses, two male, right? Or one male or two females. But in rajam, before it was two, and if you are trading or buying, selling anything, so only two witnesses. But if there is a rajam, that case, so for that we need four. So what we are going to say now, the human being or male become half, right? So now not even two male enough, now we need four males, not two males, four males. So what we are going to say, oh, Islam said now the male, they become half human being? No. Because it depends with that witnesses, what are the obligation and what you are going to decide. Because the punishment of hudud, or the punishment of rajm, it is very severe. And that's why Islam put lot of precautions, that we have to be careful not to give punishment to any innocent person. And this is the beauty of Prophet ﷺ. He had given the benefit of doubt to the criminal, or the person who is accused. And today all the courts in the world, they accept it. The benefit of doubt. If the person, they are saying that instead of the person who did not do it, if you punish an innocent person, this is worse than if you ignore or you forgive the one person who already committed some sin. So the benefit of doubt is always given to the person. Right? So that's why in Islam, there is a system of shahada. And in general, like for marriage, as Islam, the Quran explained, that one male and two females, or two males, should be the minimum of the witnesses. Why two females? If the one forgets, so other can remind. And being a witness, it is not an honor. It's a big responsibility. People are saying, oh, this is a haq, or this is a right, or this is an honor, and women are deprived, and that's why they are half human beings? No. This is a responsibility. If you are a witness, especially in countries like Muslim world nowadays, it is very hard for you to say the truth. If you are a witness, sometimes you are scared. The other opponent person, they can threat you. So that's why, wherever you have ikhtiyar, option, so why you are involving the sisters? they are already busy to take care of their children and the family and house and these things. So get involved with us. They know the tactics and this and that. And plus they have more courage or they are more bold in the court. They can face all kind of things. So instead of involving them in these things, it is not proper. But if something is in ittihar, in ijbar, in majburi, by chance, accident, something happened, and even if the female is there, you get the witnesses. But the point here is that the punishment in Islam, that should be given according to the Islamic law. So then, that's why in Islam there are two kind of punishments, hudud and tazirat. So hudud, no one can change them. Some people say, oh, why for rajam, like for the wrong sexual relation, they're saying that who is going to bring four people? And who is going to do this? And why the women's witness is not accepted in that matter? So that matter, women's witness is not accepted. Why? Because the punishment is very tough. But if there are not four, there are not four witnesses, and you have the four doctors and medical report and this and that, so now you have another law, or you have two sisters, two female or one female or one person as a witness, so now you can punish that person when it's proved that they have done something wrong. So now you can do as tazir, some punishment, what is according to that times person can understand, or the local land or the county or the city or society accept. So that is tazir. So but Islam now here have given the relaxation. Right? It's not that, oh, and some people say, why is that, this is that, why four people? That means, yes, that's why if you see entire Islamic history, you would not see too many people who were given this punishment of rajm. Yeah, I think in Prophet's life, two or three people, that's it. Yeah, and they are those who came their own. And then he came to, I think, Ma'iz Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, no? Sahabi of Prophet. So he discussed with another person. So he said, go to Prophet. And when he came to Prophet, and Prophet is sitting with his Sahaba, and he said he did this. So Prophet is looking what he's saying. And he said it again. And he said it again. And he said it again, four times. That he committed the zina. Right? And now Prophet said to Abu Bakr, take him to the side and ask him what he's saying. Is he drunk or what's wrong with him? Is he sure that what he's saying? So then Abu Bakr took him on the side and made sure that what he's saying, he meant that. He said yes. So then Prophet ﷺ had given that punishment to him. But on other end, the Prophet said to his friend, the other Sahabi, why don't you conceal it? Why is, right? Because if Allah had satar or covered up on you, so why you are making this and telling others, if that was upon you, because the other person, he was not the witness. Right? And he could just tell him, make istighfar and ask Allah for forgiveness. And there is no person who claimed or no person who filed a case, anything, so why did you give this advice to him? Right? So that's why it's very important. So here, some people take things out of context and they say, why the female, they cannot be witness? Because Islam does not want them that they should come in your daily dealing, business deal and this and that, and you bring the sisters or their witness. And once you are in court and there is attorney, and when they have cross questions, so even many people, they are confused. So how come we put this burden on sisters and females? And especially hijab and this and that, so there are many issues. That's why Islam is not bringing them in. But on the other end, if you see that there was a time, there is a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's also mentioned by Imam Bukhari. The two people, they get married, they want to get married. And another lady came and she said, that you all, you both are brother and sisters, because according to the Rabat, breastfeeding. So I breastfeeded both of you, and you both are brother and sister. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted her shahada, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you cannot get married. So in some cases like this, Islam had given much more importance, especially the things which are related to the sisters in personal life. So for that reason, Islam had given more honor to the sisters. Only one lady came and she said, that's the case, Prophet accepted her shahada. Right? And in these cases, even a male is coming and he is saying something, that is not accepted in Islamic Sharia. Right? However, for this, there is Aima, they explained it and they had given us the boundaries, where and how much who can give the importance and how much someone can be given the rights. So for this, in the personal life, in the family life, the women, they are given this right and their shahada is accepted. And some people try to confuse, they start fitna, they say, oh, if the witness of a female is half, so how come you have hadith from Aisha? Yes, hadith can be narrated from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala or any female. Riwayat, there's a difference between riwayat and shahadat. So this is riwayat of hadith. Hadith can even be narrated in some cases from a child. Right? So that is something else. But people nowadays, especially in our country, those who think they are very smart and those who come to show that they are very knowledgeable in Islam and they are propagating Islam, but behind them is the agenda and they want to destroy the Islam, and sometimes they talk logically and people think they are a very learned person. Right? But behind them is satanic mind, and they are trying to misguide people, and they are saying, why you accept, why the shahada of women is half and you are bringing hadith from Aisha? Is Gandhi, he said these things, Jawaharlal Gandhi. So it's very easy nowadays, you come on TV and you start and project your own mission without any a solid base. So that's why in Islam there are certain requirements, and in each area you have to go by those requirements. This is the description. This is the you can say the division of the duties and responsibilities for brothers and for sisters. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he accepted the shahada of that lady. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he said, what is nuqsan in deen? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said that nuqsan in deen for female, that in their monthly period, they are not performing the salah. They are exempted. And they are not fasting in the month of Ramadan. However, for the prayer, they are not supposed to perform it after when they are clean or purified. But for the fasting, they have to make up those days. So therefore Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he is actually telling are the chapter or the bab which was given the name by Imam Muslim or other Aima, they said bab bayani nuqsani imani bi naqsi ta'ati wa bayani itlaqi lafzi al-kufri ala ghayri al-kufri billahi ta'ala ka kufri ni'mati wal-hukuk. So this is the bab, that the defect or shortcoming or missing of something in your deen, it is because of having less prayers or obedience of Allah. And it's a common sense, when you are praying, you are worshipping, you are reading Quran, you are getting much more things. So if you are missing something, or you are not praying, you are not worshipping, that means you are some part is missing. So your deen or your iman is naqis, incomplete. So if you want to complete it, then you have to keep praying. And if for some reason something is missed, so you have to make it up on other time. So what we learn from this hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do sadaqah is not only for sisters, even the brothers, they have to do the sadaqah, because sadaqah is also one of the meritorious act of worship where we can get the blessings from Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So I pray to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that we learn some lessons from this hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we understand the importance of shahada in Islam. The shahada are the witnesses, testimony. For some reason, if you have to give, so Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said in Quran, "La taktumu shahada, wa man yaktumha fa innahu athimun qalbu." That if you are a witness of something, so you have to be a witness, you have to come out and you have to say the truth. Right? And you should not conceal the truth what you had seen. But if there are the things, if there is a matter that you know, you can choose someone, so why you are choosing someone who is not available or who has lot of complications or other responsibilities. So for that reason, if you are getting married, or if there is any financial deal or some other thing, so instead of choosing sisters, females, Islam is encouraging that you choose the brothers and use them as a shaheed, as a witness. And if for some reason you have to, then Islam had given us the criteria, one man and two women. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guide us to the right path, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant tawfiq to our sisters, that especially they can, during their monthly period, they can do the other azkar, zikr, remembrance of Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, but they cannot do the tilawatul Quran, the Quranic recitation. They cannot recite Quran. Tilawatul Quran. For somehow, if they are muallima, if she wants to teach, so then she should not make intention of recitation. So she should break the ayah, not reading one ayah complete, and that's the way she can teach. Right? No. Even you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that is ayah of Quran, but you're not doing with the intention of tilawah. You are doing as the dua and azkar. So with the intention of azkar and dua, you can do. But with the intention of tilawa, you can't. Right? But prayers are not obligatory for them in this period. So like 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, whatever, it's upon them, they know their cycle. So for them, they are exempted in the prayers. So they not have to make those prayers, they are gone. But for the fasting, because Ramadan is once in a year, so if they miss some days, so they have to make up those days. Even if there is sometime people fast for extra days, nafal fasting, so that is not allowed until they make up the obligatory and fard fasting days which they have missed. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guide us to the right path, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us a true believer. Wa akhu da'a alhamdulillah ibn alayhi. Question? Yeah. Well, you bring me the questions?
Right.
If you have the proof, like the woman, or you can, yeah, is asking the question, if the one is claiming that woman, that she was raped and this is the person, and then you do not have the witnesses, but you have the medical report, or some other crime, some other things which connects that what she is saying, it is true. But again, because that criteria what Islam put for hudud, they are not for witnesses, for Muslim witnesses. So now, you still have authority to make a law. That is called ta'zir. So the qadi or judge or the attorneys of that time, Muslims, they can decide punishment. 20 years in prison, or 30 years in prison, or 10 years in prison, or some financial law obligations. So something they can make rule. That is called ta'zir. No.
Even if it is possible for you.
Yes. Had is only when you...
The question over here is different. Because if somebody has zina, and you accuse somebody of zina, that's when you need to get the hudud. If I accuse someone of zina, that's different from someone claiming that he was raped. Okay. If somebody, let's assume that you want to accuse someone of zina, you have to bring four shahood that he commits zina or she commits zina.
Yeah, but if, let's, that's what I'm saying. If
somebody came and said a woman came and was raped, that's a little bit different.
No, he's saying that there are other proofs, there are other karinam, that there is a medical report, there is some phone call, there are some other things available, right? But we do not have the four witnesses. You got my point? You got it? If she could not prove it, if what you are saying, that there is the medically that is not proved, or other karain is not proved, so then there is had of qazaf to that lady, that you accuse someone who is innocent, or man is saying to a female that this happened, and then that is not proved that this lady or this person committed that sin, and he cannot prove it, so then he should be given the punishment that is called qazaf. That is also had. And when there is a had, even the head of the state, or the president, or Amir al-Mu'mineen, or Qadi al-Qudha, or Mufti of Islam, they cannot forgive it. They cannot forgive had. Had is the limit which is prescribed by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That's why the criteria or level of evidence are very heavy. You know? But for ta'zir, so you can, if you, it is proved that yes, this person has done something, so as a ta'zir, you can give him some punishment.
Is there
a not accepted. Not accepted. No, accepted as a ta'zir. You got my point. For had, no. Yeah, for had, no. For had, if you want to... Yeah, had of rajam, like stoning and killing the person. Because it's a very severe thing, you know, and the person is, especially when the person is married, you know. So for that reason, even you are saying four, on TV there was one person, he said 50. He said, why the 50 women were waiting and were not helping him, right? So some people, they create scenario that, or why the, if four people, where would be four people and in front of them, and this sin was being done and they were just standing there. Who knows the situation, or time, or from how, and this and that. So once you are making the law, you know, that's what I'm saying, the benefit of doubt. And this is language of the law. And even now, all the world's law, they accept that, the benefit of doubt.
It's severe. So if you accuse someone and you don't have this evidence, then there's a hadda in you.
That's what I'm saying. Had of qazaf. That is another important thing. And that's when in Pakistan, when they had hudud ordinance by Islamic ideology concept, when they made it, and then there was a huge discussion, and then one was saying that when it is not proved, so then both should be gone, and then women should claim for that. That is another decision. Or the state would give their punishment. So then they started this discussion. So finally they agreed on the both side, whether the woman claim, because I am, or the person, male or female, whosoever was accused, and it was not proved, and now he would claim, okay, now you bring, he insulted me, now he should be given the punishment. So that is called kasab, so he should be given that punishment. Yeah.
Prophet, majority of them will go to hellfire, or the majority of hellfire will be women.
In life,
majority of women will go to hellfire, or the majority of hellfire will be women. Yeah, so you
this is an incident of Sha'ul-Nar.
Uh-huh.
We say that in your life after
that is also in that release, yeah. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, رَأَيْتُ كُنَّ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. I have seen you majority of dwellers of hellfire. Yeah. But if this does not mean that any woman will see, oh, they are going to hellfire, and I am going to Jannah. So this there are many righteous women like Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidatul Nisa'i Ahlul Jannah, Prophet's daughter, or Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, Prophet's wife. So there are many meritorious and many righteous women, and they are like Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Asiya radiallahu ta'ala. So there are many righteous women. Rabia Basriya, she was a great scholar of her time. So there are many other women. So it does not mean that we can accuse someone that you are going to hellfire and I am going to heaven. No. Allah knows the best. But what here is the point which was addressed here, that they should follow the command of Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam.
The reason, yeah, Prophet told the reason. Number one is that he said that you are doing too much la'an, تُكْفِرْنَا اللَّعَنْ وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ. Two reasons. So, la'na is a very common word. So, people are using it, misusing it, abusing it. So, cursing is not permitted. Yes. There are two creations, I think, male and female. So either way you go, it's the same meaning. And you go. You got it? How?
Because the majority of women are in hellfire, or
so in world, who are in majority? yeah, Allah. Anyway, you got the point. So, exactly. I don't know that. What I read on the some articles, they said that is a fake video. It is not proved.
It's mihram.
No, that is totally wrong, because where are the witnesses? You know, so what the criteria, what I was telling you, there is nothing in there. So that is totally wrong. So we cannot endorse that.
And this has been taken for politics, right?
I mean, in Islamic Sharia, if you are talking, we discussed this issue before, that women cannot be Amir al-Mu'mineen, or Khalifat al-Muslimin. In Islamic concept, there is a hadith that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that nation cannot be successful, those who make women as their leader. So Prophet himself, he did not like it. If that is the case, then according to the some a'imma, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala was the most righteous person, or the person who was afdal in that time when Prophet departed, he passed away, and none of in Islamic history, even in Shia or Sunni, no one ever claimed that she deserved to be the Khalifa. So there is a case that people talk about Ali radiallahu ta'ala, people talk about Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, nobody ever talk about Fatima radiallahu, because she is the direct, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fatima tu bid'atu minni, right? So no one ever said, and Aisha, Prophet's wife, is there, right? So in Islamic concept, of course, that Islam never endorsed, or Islam never recommended that a woman should be the head of the state. But Islam encourages that the woman should be the head of the home ministry. That is the best choice for them. Yes, we can take their opinion. And that you can see if 60, 50 years back in many modern countries, women was not allowed to vote. So Islam has more value and more respect for the sisters. Yeah, right. So they have opinion, Islam respects their opinion, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in some cases, he had given them very importance. So, no. Hadith, how this hadith is coming, that time Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that war happened many, many years later, and Prophet is gone, so who is going to say this hadith? No. That's not true. No. So, let's make dua, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة نبيك الكريم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى أصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.
Huh? The first one, I want to emphasize the thank God for the people who come to the worship and the family. Parents, you have to do the things. The kids outside, when they come here, they are doing them outside the worship. And we have to Assalamualaikum. Is the voice okay in the room? Can anyone hear? That was live weekly Darse Hadith of Mishkat al-Musabih by Sheikh Sunni Imam. Aisha, try to keep your children quiet when you bring them to the mosque. That's what they were saying just a minute ago. Are you new to this room? Because that's the first time I've saw this Nick Aisha or something like that, Nusa. Anyway, are you new to this room? Weekly, Alhamdulillah, there's Tarsi Hadith in this room by the Sunni Sheikh, and there's also a question and answer session here, so it would be good if you can take part also weekly, inshallah, and we'll try to take part in it, but obviously sometimes it's not possible to turn up. Khazan Medina, are you in the room? आवाज तो आ रही है तो कि भाई आपने आवाज आ रही है आपको जी जी तो अगर किसी ने माइक के ऊपर आना है तो आ जाए जनाब किसी ने माइक के ऊपर अगर कोई کچھ کرنا ہے جناب, کوئی جمپ وغیرہ مارنی ہے تو مائک چھوڑتا ہوں. فنان مدینہ آپ کے لیے, آپ آ جائیں مائک کے اوپر, میں بھی ابھی جا رہا ہوں, کافی ٹائم ہو گیا یہاں یو کے اندر. زندگی رہی تو ان شاء اللہ کل ملاقات ہوگی. کل کا یاد رکھیں سب ساتھی کے, کل ان شاء اللہ حضرت علامہ حنیف کریشز کرتے ہیں اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کے کرم سے ان شاء اللہ کامیاب سلسلہ ہوگا. سب اپنا آپ یاد رکھیں اور کالا تین کرنے کی ضرور کوشش کریں. باقی میں ابھی اصل میں ویڈیو بنا رہا ہوں یوٹیوب کے لیے کچھ وہابیوں کے حوالے سے, کیا لکھا آپ نے کہ بدن فاطمہ اتھیج ہے حضرت سیدہ طیبہ طاہرہ حضرت تو اردو حضرت سیدہ فاطمہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہا. بالکل ایک استاد بھی تھی اور بہت بڑی عالمہ بھی تھی, اور حضرت عائشہ بھی بہت بڑی عالمہ تھی. اچھا اردو نہیں آتی آپ کو, یہ دونوں مثال اردو نا. اوکے سو ڈو یو سی یو اسپینڈ ٹائم ان انگلش کیٹیگری ڈی یو بیکاز دی فرسٹ ٹائم آف سو یو نیک اٹس نائس سی یو اینڈ ٹو جوائن دس روم. Yes, okay, you're medical, mashallah. And I believe you're a sister, yes? And the Sheikh did say that Sayyida Fatima, Salamullahi wa abiha wa alayha, rabbi teacher, and also a very big scholar, alim. And also, if you look, Sayyida Aisha was a very big scholar. Okay, mashallah, it's a been a Muslim for 5 years, mashallah, it's nice to hear, and hopefully you like Islam. And weekly there's a durus here, as you've heard today, you can be late, but it's weekly on every Friday, and also the sheikhs online quite often. There is a link for you that I can give it to you, there are quite a few good speech on there, and durus on there, that I think you would enjoy. It's an English site, fully made for this site, and the whole reason of making this site was for our those brothers and sisters who have converted or reverted to Islam. I'll just give you the link to that site and you can view that inshallah. It's an English site, there you go. It's got quite a few useful articles in there. There are quite a few good things about Aqidah, also about fiqh, and we've got quite a few English speeches on here, and there is daily updated, the site is. So it's highly recommended site to view, website, and it's got some audio video speeches, a lot of Naats, Nasheeds, and also you can listen to the Holy Quran in here. There are also some English speeches that are done often in the room. So Sayyida Aisha was also a very famous scholar, and a lot of the Sahaba used to come to ask her questions, the wife of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So there is a lot of there were a lot of important females in Islam. But is because you seem to understand what I'm trying to write. But anyway, the Sheikh did mention a few other females as well. Which work? What do you mean by that? If you can just give a question a bit. Clear, inshallah? Are Muslim women allowed to work? Well, basically regarding this, the scholars say in Islam, they say that usually there shouldn't really be a need for Muslim sisters to work, but because obviously if they're married, then obviously the husband is meant to be supporting them and their family, children, whatever. But if there's a real need, and if sisters, if there's no other source of income, and if there's a real need, then they are allowed to work. But obviously there are a few conditions in this, such as obviously they'll have to go in full hijab and cover themselves, and obviously try not to interact with men, and all these things which obviously I think you probably have heard of, Sister Aisha. I wouldn't want to go into detail about this, sister, because I'm not a scholar, and scholar was just here earlier on who gave the truth of hadith. But what I could do for you, this, I mean, as far as I know, this is the scholars obviously that will come out with this, do have quite a few hadiths and Quranic verses regarding sisters working and interacting with men. Obviously you probably heard that, but what I could do for you is I could add your neck. And inshallah, when the Shaykh comes in, maybe he'll be in tomorrow, because he does visit quite often. Then if you have any questions, you can ask the Shaykh. Is that okay? Is that okay with you? Yeah? So I mean, he will be online, I think, tomorrow. He obviously won't be online today. He does often visit this room, and another very knowledgeable, quite a few other people come in the room. But the Shaykh, inshallah, is the Imam at the moment in America, in a mosque in America. He will be in tomorrow, inshallah. So if you have any questions, inshallah, he will be able to give you the answer, inshallah, in English also, because his durus and his lectures and questions that he answered, everything is English usually. So he will, inshallah, make sure that every question that you have, he answers. What time do you think he will be here? Good question. Well, he usually does be here about 7 o'clock UK time. Are you in the UK? Where are you actually from? Are you in the UK? Because I'm in the UK, so I can tell you this time. It comes about 7 o'clock UK time. America or America. Yeah, there's a big difference from the UK and American time. There's one here. He is from America, but there's one. Are you here in the room? But anyway, inshallah, I did love Ak. So if the Shaykh comes in, I'll inshallah invite you in the room, and then you can ask your questions. You can text them to the Shaykh, okay? Yes, it's the cool Muslim mother also from America. You can speak to her, you can add her also. She's a sister who's online from America. But the whole reason and the whole point of opening this room, Sister Aisha, is that obviously for our brothers and sisters who join Pal Talk, if they have any questions, this is why we have scholars here. At the moment, in this room, we have got daily about 4 to 5 scholars visiting in this room. As you may understand, but this room, because it is in the Urdu category, so mostly the scholars, obviously, to do the speech and speeches, durus, and answer questions in Urdu. But as you've said, you can't understand it. So, I mean, what we could do is, either you could come online one day, Sister Aisha, because we've got scholars here daily. We have about 4 to 5 good top scholars, really top scholars who really are well-known scholars, Sunni scholars. So what we could do is, either birthday, yeah, of course you need to stop recording, Brother Toki. Why are you recording me for? You are meant to record the Durus and the question and answer session. So you need to cut this part, Allah. This is only a few things to, I was talking